The following is an arrival lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 11th, 2017 in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
So we thank you for greeting us here. This is the Vedic culture. By worshipping the spiritual master, you're worshipping Krishna. Actually, Krishna says, Ye me bhakti jana aparata, na me bhakti state janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakti tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So we actually want to be devotees of Krishna, then we have to become the devotee of Krishna. In this way, Krishna will accept us. Otherwise, he will never accept. Of course, it is also stated that we are directly serving Krishna. It's like when you chant Hare Krishna, you're directly contacting Krishna. Prabhupada explains it's simultaneously direct and indirect. By the mercy of Guru, you see, you're directly. But without Guru's mercy, there's... Prabhupada even says in the Nectar Devotion, without initiation, the connection with Krishna is never made. It's stated right in the Nectar Devotion. So initiation is a very important thing. That means now Krishna is actually accepting that, yes, this is my devotee, you see. Until then, you're not really a devotee. Someone's becoming a devotee. But when you actually become initiated disciple, now you're really a devotee, you see. Krishna accepts, now you're really my devotee, you see. So it's very good that you're trying to serve us with love and devotion. This is the duty of the disciple. To whatever degree you actually have love and devotion for your spiritual master, that degree your Krishna consciousness awakened, not more than that. Actually, it's equal. Whatever devotion you have to Guru, to that extent you have actual Krishna bhakti. Otherwise, it's just pseudo bhakti. It's not real bhakti. The more you become the servant of the Gopi Partu Padakamalayar, Dasa, Dasa, Nudasa, the more you become servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, that's when you actually have your awakening of Krishna consciousness. So someone may ask, well, why awaken Krishna consciousness? Well, that's who you really are. Is it? This material world is actually a mass psychosis. People are in the illusion of bodily consciousness, thinking, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a human being, I'm a Canadian, I'm an American, I'm an Indian, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this and that. It's an illusion. This illusion causes great confusion because we're living in an artificial atmosphere. We embrace bodily consciousness, we're creating an artificial atmosphere, an unnatural atmosphere. And it doesn't work. We build a whole society based on an unnatural principle. Therefore, the society doesn't work. It's flawed in so many ways. As I repeatedly point out, every day 66,000 babies are murdered with the sanction of our world governments. The governments are supposed to be protecting, but the governments are sanctioning the murder of 66,000 babies every day. And 156 million animals are being murdered every day with the sanction and permission of our world governments. So it may appear, oh, we have a nice government here in America or whatever country we're talking about. It may appear, oh, we have a very nice government. But don't think you have a nice government. Any government which is sanctioning the murder of innocent animals and the murder of innocent babies is not a good government. It's flawed, you see, because they don't recognize the spirit soul's existence and the right to life of the living entity, whatever species he has. Krishna has given every species an allotted lifespan, and if you interfere with that allotted lifespan, you're going to get it. It's going to come back to you. Your own lifespan will be shortened, you see. If you shorten somebody else's lifespan, your lifespan will also be shortened. And that's why even in the Kali Yuga, we live to be 100. How many people live to be 100? It's very rare. Even if you're 80, they put you in the newspaper, octogenarian. Mm-hmm. 80, that's young compared to what the actual lifespan is, 20 years before the lifespan, the end. How many people live to be 80 or even 70 or even 60? You see? People are dying, teenagers are dying nowadays. You see, all this untimely death is due to the karmic reactions of all these heinous murders we're committing on innocent babies and innocent animals. The government has no eyes to see this. They have no eyes to see it. And therefore they sanction it. In the name of overpopulation, we can kill these 66,000 babies every day. You see? Overpopulation. In Krishna consciousness, we teach you, unless you want to have child, you don't have sex. That's natural birth control. Not have sex unrestrictedly and murder the baby. No. You don't want a child, you just don't have sex. It's simple then. Very simple then. No kid, no sex. But these rascals are so lusty, they're so carried away by the senses that it's inconceivable to them to practice brahmachari. Inconceivable. They can't even conceive of it, you see.
When the devotees cannot control, then what can you say about the devotees?
Some of our devotees even have a hard time controlling, you see. So therefore we devotees have to set an ideal example.
If the devotees can follow, then automatically purity will be spread.
Our devotees sometimes aren't, householders sometimes aren't following this principle. Our householders have to become strong and be ideal grihastha brahmacharis. If we set the example, it's our duty as Prabhupada's followers to set the example of perfect implementation of Vedic culture in our lives. If we can't follow Prabhupada, then how do we expect the world to follow Prabhupada, you see? It's a big problem in ISKCON nowadays. People aren't following Prabhupada's teachings. The ISKCON, even initiated devotees, are not following Prabhupada's teachings. So how do we expect to make the world Krishna conscious if we don't even follow Prabhupada? I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So we have to, therefore, become very, very sober and fixed up in following the orders of Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, we can actually have a huge impact. I'm just giving a class yesterday morning in Los Angeles, which the devotees really appreciated a lot, about how we have to revolutionize the world. And then it was pointed out that Prabhupada said we can't really do that. But then it was pointed out that Prabhupada said even if we can make 1% of the world Krishna conscious, the whole world will become peaceful. Now, in other words, it's not that everybody has to become a devotee, you see. And even then, Prabhupada even said less than 1%. We did some calculation. The world population is 7.4 billion. So what's 1% of that? 74 million. So Prabhupada's even less. So say 50 or 60 million people can be trained to strictly follow Prabhupada, you see. Prabhupada said there'll be world peace. This whole thing, the ISIS crisis and all these slaughterhouses and abortion clinics, they will go away. If we can just get 60 million people strictly following Prabhupada's teachings. So how are we going to get that 50 or 60 million? We have to strictly follow Prabhupada's teachings, you see, and preach, distribute books, preach, cultivate people, you see. In this way, we can actually be potent representations or representatives of the previous acharyas to bring about an amazing transformation of the world society. So we've come here for that purpose. We want to stimulate revolutionary activities here in this Tantra area as much as possible. There can be an awakening of Krishna consciousness, an amazing renaissance of Krishna consciousness among the Torontoites, or whatever you call them, Torontoites.
Many of our devotees say, leaders, that we have to be working with the modern society, then we can make them Krishna conscious.
We have to be working with the modern system. Well, we can use the modern day things like the printing press or the internet or recording media.
Have to be parallel, like I'm working with them.
We can speak in their words. We can use their language that they can understand. But we can't act like them. We have to show them a higher culture. Not that we have to follow their Prabhupada said, "I have not come." They told him, "Prabhupada, when you go," they said, "Swamiji, when you go to America, you'll have to learn to eat with a knife and fork." Prabhupada says, "I'm not going to learn their culture. I'm going to teach them my culture." So this is our move, you see. I mean, why should I go back to the old culture? I gave that culture up in the 70s. Why should I think I should go back to the old culture that I gave up? I took up this new culture, Prabhupada's culture, you see. So we have something higher. We have something much higher here. We have something very revolutionary and powerful which completely can transform world history. So we should be very enthusiastic about being Krishna conscious, strictly chanting 16 rounds every day without fail, you see. Rising early, taking bath, you see, putting tilak on the nose, you see, going deep into Krishna Nam. You don't have to go back to Godhead and meet Krishna. Do you know that? You can meet him every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Somebody say, "Well, that's just Krishna's name. I want to meet him." Well, see, for you, that may be that, just like Love Patel, you see. I can say Love Patel, but he's not present. Of course, he's present now. But when you say Krishna, Krishna and his name are one and the same. Krishna is fully manifest. It's simply a matter of our developing the power to experience his presence. But he's fully present when we chant Hare Krishna. He's fully manifest. You understand these points? Krishna is fully manifest in his name. You can directly associate with the Supreme Person, the source of all existence, just as much as meeting him personally face to face.
But he doesn't want to associate with Krishna.
Do you want to associate with Krishna? Pardon? Would you like to meet Krishna? Then you chant every day the mala, very nicely, 16 rounds, and Krishna will appear. You see, Krishna will appear to you. So you can have that. You can develop a personal relationship by the mercy of Guru. You can develop a personal relationship with Krishna. So, are there any questions? Does anybody have any questions, or you like to add something, Guru Manta?
I didn't think about it.
Okay, if something comes up, don't hesitate. On these tours now, she's also giving lectures. It's not because she's the better half. When she gives the lecture, these are my best lectures when Guru Mata speaks. She's the better half.
Yeah.
You'll hear the better lecture. When she speaks, you'll hear the lectures are better. Cause she's the better half.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. So, yes.
So, I've been trying so hard, but it doesn't seem like I'm not having any impact on myself.
Not having?
Any impact on myself what? Or anybody else.
What is?
Trying to influence, be Krishna conscious.
Influence.
Trying to be Krishna conscious and trying to spread this. So much effort all these years and I don't see anything actually changing.
I know, but a very nice point Tamal Krishna Maharaj made many years ago in Gainesville. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
They can stay on that side. Okay.
So,
there are more people to
come. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there preaching with Vishnu Jan Swami. They had a traveling Radha-Damodar party. It was a very successful preaching program. But what he told us is that sometimes they do preaching. They don't see any results. Then the results come from some other place. So where you're putting your energy, you may not see any results there, but because you're putting out energy, somewhere the results will come sooner or later. You see? Because you're dealing with, actually, when you preach, you're not, well, you're dealing with the whole material world, not just that. What you're doing is having an impact on the whole universe, not just that little space where you're talking. This is powerful stuff, talking about Krishna. You may not see the effect right there in the immediate area, but there will be an effect. Any preaching you do, sincerely trying to chant your chant Hare Krishna, even japa Prabhupada explains that even japa has a tremendous impact. He says, when one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, this is an amazing quote in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When one chants Hare Krishna mantra without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world takes up Krishna consciousness. So even just good japa can impact the whole universe. One person chanting very pure rounds can impact the whole universe. So you may not see results immediately, but any sincere preaching that you're doing, or sincere chanting, sincere hearing, sincere serving, any sincere service you render is having a tremendous impact on the entire universe. You may not see it, but it is happening. So you have to have faith and just keep doing it. You see? Keep doing it. Keep preaching. Keep distributing books. Keep cultivating people. Keep doing kirtan. Keep offering your food. Keep waking up early in the morning, taking your bath, putting on tilak, etc. These things do have an impact. Everything we do has a tremendous impact. And someday you'll see the result of what you've been doing. Someday you will see, oh, yes, Krishna did so many amazing things using me as an instrument.
Isn't it the result starts coming after one feels... this may be very heavy for everybody, but with little detachment, going on doing one's duty, but with detachment.
Yeah, if we're a little proud, sometimes Krishna doesn't get show the results. Think, yeah, I'm a pretty good preacher, yeah. You see, that pride can come in. I've seen it in my godbrothers. Even I've seen it in my advanced godbrothers. Sometimes pride is there. You know. They think they're very big, successful preachers, but then they put Prabhupada's garland on crooked, and I say, oh, Prabhu, you put it on crooked. He said, you fix it. Instead of fixing it themselves. Because they get a little proud. I'm a big preacher now. I can just order my godbrother to clean up my mess. They put the garland on crooked and Prabhupada, instead of correcting it, oh, Prabhu, you have it on crooked. They say, you fix it. You see? So sometimes even big preachers become a little proud. You see? I'll just think of little tiny preachers. So that can also keep the results from showing you pride because you're proud. Krishna doesn't want to show you the results because you're already puffed up enough, rascal. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So the more you become humble, then the results become more manifest. So we have to be careful. Like I gave a class yesterday, everybody's raving over the class. The temple president was just in ecstasy.
Temple president first time came and hugged you.
He hugged me. I mean, it was so well received. These are God brothers, you know. Usually it's just grand disciples, but here are all these God brothers, and this is the head of the BBT, Srivas Prabhu, and it's like, so Mataji had to remind me how to get pumped up. I said, 'cause it's easy. You give a good lecture, and you think, yeah, I'm a pretty good speaker, you know. Pride is the gateway to hell. As soon as you get a little proud, there's this saying, pride cometh before the fall, you see. So sometimes we have to become very humble, you see. Lower than the straw in the street, willing to offer all respect to others without expecting even the slightest tinge of respect for ourselves. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So that's what we want. You see, right now we think, well, Hare Krishna, finished my rounds. Good, now I can watch television. Or I can sleep or whatever. We don't watch TV, but I'm giving an example. Somebody might be doing that. But the thing is, when you really are humble, then you don't even want to stop chanting. You just go on 24 hours. Just go deeper and deeper in your Nama Ruchi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Just go. You don't even want to stop. 24 hours a day you can go on chanting when you achieve Nama Ruchi stage. So I still have work to do. I got to do thought for the day before I take rest tonight. So we got to end it here so I can get my thought for the day posted. So it comes in, at midnight it goes all over the world. So, and I want to take rest at an early hour today for this traveling. So we better stop it here.
Yeah. Invited people at 6 o'clock.
Okay, well, I had our 10-minute program then. Okay. People were invited to come at 6?
Yes.
Okay, well, then why don't we take a few more questions and wrap it up? Why don't we have a few more questions then? Maybe go another 10 minutes. Since I said just came at 6, they were invited to come. We appreciate you've come, sir. Yeah, I just got off the airplane. But we're really happy you all have come. So do you have any questions? Any of our latecomers? Questions?
So when you have, I will ask them. They don't have questions. When are you getting ready? When is he not getting ready?
Whenever Radharani Krishna arranges for us.
Well, why the Guru is here?
And depend on them.
They are already giving you. But you want to take? Are you ready to take?
Like I'm not ready.
That's what your problem. Not say Radharani wants and Krishna wants.
Oh, whenever Krishna wants?
Yeah.
Krishna wants right now. Savardaman Paritjaja Mamekang. Krishna's ordering you immediately. You surrender immediately right now. That's Krishna's order. So when, you can't say, well, when Krishna wants, I'll get initiated.
Krishna also says in the Vedas, Tata Brahma Jigyasa, you got a human form of life now. Do it. Why is sitting back? Wake up. And then when Krishna wants, Krishna has given you a human form of life. Should be doing it.
Okay, question.
So how to constantly be mindful of activities and thoughts, not just...
How to be constantly mindful of activities and thoughts?
Not just while chanting, but throughout the day.
By studying the scriptures and seeing everything through the eyes of the scriptures. By reading the books, you will know how you're supposed to be thinking and how you're supposed to be acting. And how you're supposed to be speaking. If you study the scriptures, you'll know exactly how you're supposed to think, act, and speak in all times, places, and circumstances. So the answer is you have to become Shasvat Chakshus, one who sees through the eyes of the scriptures. It's like you have corrective lenses on so you can see clearly. With those glasses off, you can't see very well, can you? No. So now you have another pair of glasses, Shastra. By seeing everything through the eyes of Scripture, that's how you have to analyze everything, not just your mind, but Scripture. That's how you have to see through the Scriptures. And then you'll know if you're speaking correctly, if you're thinking correctly, and you're acting correctly. You have to always analyze everything on the basis of what the spiritual master teaches you and what the Scriptures say. And that's the key. Very simple. Man marama bhavat bhakto majadji mang namaskuru. Mamme vashashi yuk vaivang ad manang matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me, being fully absorbed in me. Become my devotee. In this way, not difficult. You understand? When in doubt, pick up a book and read. You can always monitor yourself by looking in the books. Well, am I living this or not? Is my mind working like this or is it doing something different? You have to make your mind your best friend. Right now it's your worst enemy. But when you train your mind how to always think shastrically, your mind then becomes your best friend. You got to train your mind how to always think in terms of the revealed scriptures, not your mental whims based on sense desires. Okay? Next.
My question, Guru Maharaj, is connected with what Prabhu just asked. Many times in our family, we're not like, you know, not everybody is Krishna conscious, so it is very like erratic energy, in dealing with non-Krishna conscious family members and how they like cooperate or not cooperate. And I know it's like we have to be as devotees, like have very friendly attitude, and you know how our dealings with.
You want to know how to deal with the non-devotees in a Krishna conscious way? Is that what you're asking? Well, devotee is friendly to everyone. That's a fact. Stated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he has no enemies. He's a well-wishing friend of all. But at the same time, he's trying to train them and deal with them in such a way that they'll be inspired to become Krishna conscious. So if you remember that, it's like Guru Mata is a very good example. Her brothers were really angry when she became a devotee. But she was very solid. Now they're initiated devotees also of ISKCON. In the beginning, they were fighting against her. But she was strong in her determination. Now they're also initiated devotees. So you have to be in the mood of a preacher also, not just a buddy. You're their teacher. You're their guru now. Whether they know it or not, you're their guru. So you have to train them, whatever you can do. Even if it's just getting them to take prasadam, if nothing else. Somehow you have to purify them. They may not become devotees, but they can render valuable. My father and I became a devotee, but he rendered very valuable service to help us. So even if they don't become devotees, they can render service to help you in your service, and that can be done too. They benefit greatly from doing that. Next. Anyone else?
At 6:30 we should leave.
Yeah. Or before then.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? Ready to take over your minds and subdue them? You're willing to take your mind and tackle your mind and keep it fixed in Krishna consciousness? See, your mind is like a naughty child right now. Running here, running there, taking crayons and crying all over, drawing all over the walls. That's what our minds are like right now, you see. You got to train you have to bring your mind under your control. Keeping it always fixed in Krishna consciousness. Do you know that? Your mind is like a naughty kid.
That's true.
Yeah. You got to bring that rascal under control. You be the mother or the father, and just bring. Especially the mother is the best example, but bring that kid under control.
We have so much material influence from everywhere.
So much.
Coming at you.
Distractions.
No, so many material
attractions.
Not attractions.
Distractions.
Influence.
Influences.
Huh? Material
influences. Influences. Yeah. So you have to realize, you have to see those influences, what they actually are. It's all happening within the energy of Krishna. Krishna says, in Bhagavad Gita, 15:15. He says, I am the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So all those influences that are pulling your mind away are actually given by Krishna to those who want to forget him. That's why you have the porno sites on the web. That's why you have, so many other things. For those who want to forget Krishna, he's giving full facility to forget him forever, you see. So this is all under the vision of Krishna. He's provided for those who want to forget him, there's full facility. But you just have to be determined that you always want to remember Krishna and always want to serve Krishna. And then you'll be able to see that these things, it's just everywhere, You're at the airport and some woman has her breasts are halfway showing from the dress, just the luggage thing. Everywhere you go, So you got a low-cut dress, her breasts are halfway showing. You're just picking up your luggage and there's some woman, like a prostitute right there, and you see this thing, you know what I mean? It's everywhere.
Distractions, but
your material duties at your job?
Yeah.
Your duties,
well, you have to do it for... Huh?
How do I explain? I don't know. If you have to. Anyways, it's like, let's say you're working, you have to work hard, You have to meet your quotas.
Effects of the material modes.
Your job you're talking about.
The job demands and the people demanding things from you.
So you have to be expert. You're doing this so you can. You're doing this to maintain a Krishna conscious. If you are maintaining a Krishna conscious lifestyle at home, you have no trouble with that.
Yeah, and it's not. It's not. It's like there are people who are gonna be that way, who are gonna be rude to you, who are gonna be that way.
But you will know how to tolerate.
But
you have to learn how to deal expertly in that atmosphere in order to earn a living where you can practice Krishna consciousness at home. In your free time.
That's the hard part. About
why don't you try? What I did is I wore tilak to work.
Sorry?
I wore tilak to work. And then when I had the tilak, I did perform much better. My boss was more pleased with me when I wore tilak.
That may not be applicable. Ever.
Maybe not. I'm just giving an example. It may not be applicable for your job. But for my job, I was doing. There was a long distance company that used to be big in the U.S. called MCI. They're now defunct. So I was a salesman for MCI, and a part-time job. So I went, to get hired. I grew my hair out. I put a shirt and tie over my neck beads. I looked like a normal person, you know, quote normal person unquote. Then, but I was thinking, this isn't me, you know. One day I just wore tilak to work. And that day I was so fired up. I was doing telesales, you know, signing people up for an MCI long distance service. And boom, 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 I was getting one sale after another sale. My boss gets a commission on my sales, you see. So when he saw me over there, he goes, wow. The other day he said, Mr. Bridge, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but from now on you must wear it every day. So hey, you know, you just, if you can just play a Bhagavad Gita, you have a cubicle or a desk?
Yes.
Put a Bhagavad Gita on your desk. That's all. Just sit it there. Just lay Bhagavad Gita as it is on your desk. Don't say a word to anybody. Just lay it there. And that Bhagavad Gita will give you energy all day. Because Krishna was on a battle. Arjuna was on the battlefield. So your job is a battlefield, isn't it?
That's right.
So you just put a picture of Krishna. You just put Bhagavad Gita is on your desk. That's all you need to do. And I sing that Gita, you get power to deal with it. Simply lay a Gita on your desk. That's all you have to do. Krishna will do the rest. Because you'll remember Krishna. And you'll get empowered by Krishna to deal with it. Just as Arjuna empowered Arjuna, he will also empower you. Arjuna, can you imagine 640 million warriors on the battlefield? And Arjuna came out alive. He wasn't injured even. He wasn't even injured. 640 million warriors. And Arjuna wasn't even injured. So you have to just take it, your job is your battlefield of Kurukshetra. And put your Gita there and get in there and fight for Krishna. Yeah.
Maybe I not explain proper way in English. So can you help me?
Gujarati. Yeah.
I have a question about. I'm pure vegan. Try to connect with the God, right? And last 8 years, I never saw TV. Like,
Television.
What is it?
Television.
Very good.
Okay. Because of my daughter, she's now is 7 years old. And I don't, you know, before I watch the TV, and whatever you tell us, like, some is not when we sit down with family. Maybe something is good, something we cannot see with the family, right?
So that's it's better to get rid of the TV. Just get rid of it out of the house.
Last 8 years, I never
very good.
Sit down with the TV. I saw the TV, but only religious. So.
Very good. Right. You should never get a TV. Never bring a TV back to the house.
Yeah,
it's the best thing.
I want to give great culture, whatever our Hindu culture. To my daughter, but if I not follow, my daughter maybe not follow.
That's right.
So my question is, okay.
You're going to answer this one, Devi.
Gujarati ma kahu tam. Jiv. એટલે કારણ કે આપણે મરી જવાના છે એક દિવસ રાઈટ આ હું મારી પત્ની મારા મમ્મી ફાધર કે બીજો કોઈ કનેક્શન નથી રહેવાનું અત્યાર પૂરતું છે મને ખ્યાલ છે એટલે તો વોટ ઇઝ જીવ આત્મા શું છે what is Ishwar, because of aapne ahiyathi bhagwan jor javane chhe. What is jiv Ishwar? Maya. Tya sudhi hu ja thoduk main read karyu chhe. Maya black hole. What is jiv Ishwar, Maya, Brahm and Parbrahm?
Jiv is Brahm also.
Yeah.
Because part and parcel of Krishna, so jiv is Brahman also.
But Mahabharat ma je kvanchala. Brahm and jiv both are different descendants.
No. Polish translation vachyo e khabar nahi tumne. Bhagavad Gita ma Krishna Bhagavan ke jiv ane Chaitanya Mahaprabhu e ke ke jivera swarupa hai Krishna ra swarupa. Jivera swarupa hai Krishna ra nitya das. Jiv no swarup chhe. Bhagavan no ansh hovana karane. Ye ansh hovana karane e das chhe. Ne Ishwar chhe Bhagavan. Ne no swarup chhe. Jiv no swarup chhe. Jiv Bhagavan no swarup chhe.
Ishwar koti maa hai gaya, right?
Itle ke jiv no swarup chhe Satchidananda vigraha. Bhagavan no swarup chhe Satchidananda vigraha. Jiv Bhagavan no ansh hovana karane eno swarup pan Satchidananda swarup. આ જીવ અંદર આપણા શરીર પરથી જેવી રીતના આપણે શર્ટ પેન્ટ પહેરેલું હોય છે એવી રીતના આ શરીર ભૌતિક શરીર પહેરેલું છે. જીવ ના હોય તો એ ભૌતિક શરીર નું નકામું છે.
મારો ક્વેશ્ચન એ છે, જીવ ઈશ્વર, જીવ કોટી ખ્યાલ આવી ગયો કે ઈશ્વર આપણે ભગવાન નું જ એક સ્વરૂપ. ઈશ્વર જો આત્મા તરીકે માને તો એક ભગવાન નું સ્વરૂપ થાય.
આત્મા અને ભગવાન ના સ્વરૂપ, ભગવાન નો અંશ, સ્વરૂપ નહી અંશ.
તો બ્રહ્મ અને પરબ્રહ્મ બોથ આર ડિફરન્ટ, રાઈટ? સો વોટ ઇઝ ધ ડિફરન્સ બિટવીન ધેટ?
જીવ અણુ છે, અણુ કણ, ને પરમ બ્રહ્મ છે એ બે હોલ. ને બીજો ઉદાહરણ આપેલું છે એક્ઝામ્પલ શાસ્ત્રમાં કે નિત્ય નિત્યાનામ. જીવ પોતાનું શરીરનું જ જાણી શકે છે, પરમાત્મા છે એ બધાનું જાણી શકે છે, એ બધાનું સંભાળે છે. તમે પોતાનું કરી શકો છો.
ઓકે, સો આઈ હેવ મોર, વન મોર ક્વેશ્ચન. લાઈક રામ ઇઝ ધ ગોડ, રાઈટ? કૃષ્ણ ઇઝ ધ ગોડ, શિવા ઇઝ ધ ગોડ, રાઈટ?
શિવા ઇઝ હાફવે ઇન બિટવીન લિવિંગ એન્ટિટી એન્ડ ગોડ.
ઓકે, સો વી ચેન્ટિંગ હિયર લાઈક હરે રામ હરે કૃષ્ણ, રાઈટ? So, Ram and Krishna both are the same God?
Yes.
Ram is simply an expanded form of Krishna. When Krishna wants to have the rasa of being married to one wife, he manifests as Ram.
So, nobody is beyond that one?
Hmm?
So, nobody is beyond Ram and Krishna, right?
Ram and Krishna are this, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God, and Ram is an expansion. No one is beyond Krishna and Ram. No one. Shiva is a devotee, actually, of Krishna.
So I have a question. There's a Hindu religion, right? They pull us in a back home, right? Ram and Krishna, they both are uns of the, right, Vishnu.
Yeah, they're both Vishnu categories, that's right.
Right?
The
so,
Vishnu is a category. There are actually thousands of Vishnus. Krishna is the original Vishnu. Ram is an expanded form. Rama is a Vishnu, he's expanded from Krishna. There's Nrisimha, there's Vamana, there's Matsya, there's Kurma, there's
Sahasra.
It's like the Dasavatar Stotra, that prayer. There are 10 different, there all these are different Vishnu tattvas. Krishna is the original Vishnu tattva. Vishnu is the category, God category is called Vishnu, that's God. Krishna is the original Vishnu. And then Rama is an expansion from him. There's also Nrisimha, there's Vamana, there's Matsya avatar, Kurma avatar. These are all Vishnus. The vision of Vishnu is Krishna. This is confirmed in Bhagavad.
My question, like, if first is the Vishnu, right? First avatar is the Ram.
I will explain it. Vishnu is the name of all the categories. See, I have the candle. You take candle is one name. Rose is one rose. All the same roses.
Yeah.
But then there is a spray rose. There is this rose. That is this rose. That rose.
Another example
Let me finish.
Okay.
So there are many names of those roses. So Vishnu is just one category, like roses. And then there is, Krishna is the one, first one. And from Krishna many Vishnus come.
Krishna is the original Vishnu. Krishna is the original Vishnu. Just like it's described in the Bhagavatam, the Rama Samhita, there's one candle, and there's lit. Then there's 1,000 other candles that are not lit. But you can take that one flame, you can put it on the second candle. Now you have 2 candles burning. Then the 3rd candle, the 4th. But after a while, you have 1,000 candles burning, but they're all from that original flame on the first candle. Krishna is the original flame.
Okay, one power station, right? This is the society, crystal view. We have a 10 house, right? So this power station is giving power to all 10 houses.
Krishna is the power station.
Right?
Krishna is the power station.
They told us Vishnu is the power station.
No, Krishna is the power station. Vishnu is the original. Krishna is the original Vishnu.
Yeah, that's why what they told us, like Vishnu,
yes,
is a first is a,
because they do
that
not
one
know.
Is a come is a, as a Ram first time 10,000 year ago. Then after 5,000 year ago, Vishnu is come as a Krishna, right? Then after whatever like year exactly, I don't know, right? But the
Krishna,
power of the
Krishna was Krishna manifested. Krishna has an expanded form called Mahavishnu, who exhales all the universes from himself. And in those, this happened that when that 155 trillion years ago, an expanded form of Krishna known as Mahavishnu exhaled this universe from himself. And in the bottom of that universe, he appeared as another expansion called Garbhodakshay Vishnu, from whose navel Lord Brahma was born. And that, so that this is all coming from Krishna as the origin of this whole thing. These Vishnus are simply expansions of Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. It's confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That nowadays in India, they teach so many things which are not according to Shastra. Shastra is the authority, not Hindu lore. Shastra is the authority. Yeah, Krishna clearly says in the Bhagavad Gita, you can look in chapter 10, text 8, Aham sarvasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate. Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Krishna clearly says everything comes out of him. So Vishnu, Krishna is the original Vishnu. Vishnu is the origin of everything. We agree. And that original Vishnu is Krishna. That's why we are Krishna devotees. We are called Vaishnavas. What does Vaishnava mean? Devotee of Vishnu. So we are devotees of Vishnu, and the original Vishnu is Krishna. We are Vaishnavas, devotees of Vishnu.
Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ete chamsha kalapumsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And in Brahmajinagna prayers also, Govinda Madhipursham Tamaham Bhajami.
The original person. Krishna is the origin of everything. That's confirmed in many places in the Vedic scriptures. So yes, we agree that Vishnu is the supreme. But who is that Vishnu? That's Krishna.
If we like
it's a personal form.
Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Sri Guru Devo.
You know the translation.
Yes, I can tell you. That's a Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavad.
No, I'm not talking about Mayavad.
No. Ej bole na. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, they are Mayavadis.
He doesn't know what that means. Mayavadi.
Mayavadi, ye loko ke badhu ek acche. Badha Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, ane Param Brahma, no form.
No, that meaning, right, when the, I learn little bit, right, when there's a school age, right, because of every day in the school, when I'm like, I remember like, when I'm 6 years old.
Yeah, they're not teaching according to Shastra, that's the problem. They're teaching according to popular Hindu philosophy.
I will ask you a question. What is the reference of Brahma? What is the information of Param Brahma? Definition of Param Brahma?
Param Brahma, it means Brahma.
That means the light. There is nothing else. It's all one.
Yeah, that is a Brahm, right?
Yeah, Brahm means there is no form. That's what their teachings. That is called Mayavadi. That is teachings of Shankaracharya. Everything is one.
Shankaracharya taught this philosophy of impersonal oneness for the purpose of defeating Buddhism. After Krishna departed from this world 5,000 years ago, Lord Buddha, they were misusing the Vedic scriptures to slaughter the animals, because in the Treta Yuga, the Brahmins would take an old cow and put it into the sacrificial fire and rejuvenate it with a young calf's body by the power of mantra. So in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, about 5,000 years ago, the people were using this example from the Vedas to justify killing cows to eat their flesh, cow killing, which is a gross violation of Vedic principles. So Lord Krishna appeared as Buddhadev. And he said, he denied the Vedas, and he said, he taught ahimsa, non-violence, he taught the law of karma. So in this way he's put a stop to the cow killing. And then Shankara came to teach this Mayavad philosophy that it's all one, a formless oneness. This was Buddhism is atheism. So he said, yes, there is God, there is Brahma, but it is formless. It is just formlessness. So Krishna instructed Lord Shiva to appear as Shankaracharya to teach a philosophy which was halfway between Vaishnava philosophy and Buddhism to make a transition. Shankaracharya lived only to his 30s. He didn't live very long, but he was so powerful, he drew Buddhism completely out of India and restored Vedic culture. So, but then a series of Vaishnava acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, 1 minute, they came and reestablished full Vaishnava philosophy. Go ahead.
I was just saying that when Shankaracharya taught the teachings of oneness, then everybody took it. But everybody accepted that. But when he told everybody, bhaja govindam mudamate,
they didn't take it.
They did not take it.
At the end of his life, he told everyone to become devotees of Krishna. Shankara did that. But they wouldn't do it. They were so attached to this idea. See, this Brahm philosophy means, I am Brahm, you're Brahm, we're all Brahm, right? It's all Brahm.
Everybody,
I'm God, you're God, we're all God. It's a very attractive, the false ego. Oh, wow, I'm God. Back in the 60s with the hippies in America, they all believed that they were God, you see, because that's, you know. So it's very attractive, this philosophy that you're, oh, wow, I'm God. You see, but this is false philosophy. You're not God. There's a difference between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. We are called Jiva Tattva. And there's two categories, Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva. In Vishnu Tattva, you have Krishna, you have Ram, you have the different Vishnu forms, like Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Shirdakshai Vishnu, Karanadakshai Vishnu, Nishinga Bhagavan, you have Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, many different incarnations. There's millions of them.
There's
the Vishnu Sahasranam means 1,000 different incarnations, different Vishnu forms, 1,000 of them. That's only the tip of the iceberg. So that's one category. And then we are in the category called Jiva Tattva. So there's a big difference. We are a tiny part and parcels of Vishnu, and then there's Vishnu, the supreme complete whole. And that original Vishnu is Krishna.
Okay. Vajgovinam. But nobody took it.
They were too attracted to the idea of being God. They didn't want to follow his philosophy, become servants of God. Yeah. See, this is real Hindu culture. You become a servant of God. You bow down to God. You become a humble servant. Krishna says, the key verse in the Gita is, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja, mame kang shadarang vrija, ahang tvang sarva papebhyo, mokshiyashami maashuchaha. He says, give up all other duties and just fully surrender yourself to me. That's what Krishna says. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, and he says we should give up all other duties and simply fully surrender to him. That's real Hindu culture, to surrender to Krishna. That's the real meaning of Hindu culture. Actually, the word Hindu is a term carried by the Muslims. Sanatana Dharma is the actual word. The Muslims, there's a river, the Sindhu River, so the Muslims pronounced it Hindu. So those persons living on the other side of the Sindhu River, they call them Hindus. It's a term closed by the Muslims. It's not in the Vedas. The term Hindu is not in the Vedas. It's a term from the Muslims. So the real term is Sanatana Dharma, the eternal occupation of the soul. We're actually Sanatana Dharmis. We're not Hindus. You see? We're Sanatana Dharmis. We follow Gita. Strictly follow Gita. You won't find the word Hindu in Bhagavad Gita. It's nowhere in Bhagavad Gita you find the word Hindu.
So why not you give him your card?
Yes.
You can enroll in there.
Can enroll in my course,
and
yeah.
He can write to you again and again and ask questions.
What is his good name?
Pratik.
Huh?
Pratik.
So I guess we'll stop here then.
I wanted to ask whether the devotee is beyond all the rituals. Like if it is a pure devotee, then if a pure devotee dies, does it mean that his body should not have any rituals to be performed, like the last rites?
You want to answer that one?
Yeah, no, there is last rites and that. But why, go in, like, your seat in the samadhi.
We did last rites or Prabhupada. We do that to worship the pure devotee.
Yes. Why, you asked me to that's answer.
That's for our... Yeah.
If you want to answer, you can answer. But just cutting me is not good. So something is good, you want to keep them, right? Even if you get a flower, if it's a nice prasadam flower, you want to save it as long as you want. So the body of the pure devotee is so valuable that we want to preserve it.
But we put them in the samadhi. Preserved. When you put it in samadhi, is it preserved?
Yes. It's
salt.
In the samadhi, because with the salt, it is disintegrated, but the samadhi is made. Because he is still sitting there. His body is not burned. Because he's not attached to his body.
Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan, he's sitting right under the... There's a murti of Prabhupada in Vrindavan, he's sitting right under the murti.
All the devotees who are spiritual masters who are departing, their bodies are preserved. So the disciples can go and worship.
There's a great Shakti there. The form, that body of the spiritual master is pure spiritual energy.
Guru Maharaj, I have a comment, like in connection to what the Pratik Prabhu said.
Let's see if your comment is correct or not.
So you talk about like different, you know, forms of Vishnu and God, but like, you know, we say that God is one, right? Like many times we also refer to other like religions, Islam, Christianity, and as long as followers of
but
those...
But this is not a comment, this should be your question. That's first thing. Because you are talking about different traditions.
No, Guru Maharaj, what I'm trying to say is the fact that even though they're followers of Lord Ram, right? And we're
yes, that's
you know,
okay.
and we're
that's
following
okay.
Krishna as the main But
somebody
point
can
I'm
worship Ram
yeah.
also is same. But
yes.
they said worship is same. Devotion is same.
Yes, yes. So, like, my comment.
But the trouble is they're eating meat. Christians are eating meat. The Muslims are eating meat.
And also Ram worshippers also.
Huh?
Ram worshippers also.
Eating meat. See, that's your religion. That's a dharma.
So, whatever he wants.
So, I heard about this, like in Rig Veda, it is mentioned that, like, you know, the same thing that we say, that, you know, God is one. Like, even though they are in their religion, but, you know, they cannot leave that, you know, and come to, like, you know, Krishna consciousness, right? So
sure they can.
But like many times we say that, you know, if you are a follower of Christianity, chant the name of Christ.
Yes,
if you're a follower of... so we also at the same
time... Yeah, but I'm a Christian.
We're also at the same time...
But I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian.
Yes.
And I became a perfect Christian by chanting Hare Krishna.
So the comment I had in mind is the fact that although God has many different names, and he appears at, you know, different time, place, and circumstances, but the God is one.
Yeah.
God is one does not make that every category of Ram is the Ram is Ram, but Krishna is original. That was the point. Krishna is original.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that their worship is on the same. Doesn't mean that their worship is pure.
Right?
Yes.
So if you go to Ram, if somebody is asking,
no,
or
Ram
is devotees, right? They said, okay, only Ram is the main, right? Like, they try
to... Then they have to follow Ram.
Yeah, that's why I would say, if if Christian, they try to, okay, Supreme God is only Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
If,
okay.
Yeah, so every
but their name,
try to...
their name may be different. God is one, like the sun. Like the sun.
So
then
how can we define, like, who is the main God?
Well, we don't say who is main God. We are saying Krishna is the original.
God is one. It's not that you have many gods. There's only one God.
Yes. But who is the original? That means from whom everything is expanded. All these different expansions.
Actually, there's only one religion, and that's complete surrender to the will of the Supreme Lord. That one true religion is manifested to varying degrees in different religious traditions. There's actually only one religion, and that is complete, total surrender to the Supreme Person. And that religion is manifest to certain, to varying degrees in different isms and different pathways. But it's not that all is the same. The Christians are doing, so-called Christians are eating meat, even in the church. Every Wednesday night we had a potluck dinner, everybody bringing, we're eating meat in the church. Even though the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, we're eating slaughtered animals every Wednesday night at the potluck dinner. You see? That's not Christianity. That's not following Jesus. They don't know how to follow Jesus. They don't know how to follow Muhammad. They don't know how to follow Buddha. They don't know how to follow Abraham. They've lost the intelligence how to actually follow their religious paths properly. But we can teach everyone how to become a perfect Jew, perfect Buddhist, a perfect Muslim, a perfect Christian, etc. We know the science of God.
And also the Ram worshippers, we can tell them how
same
to
thing.
Become Ram, perfect Ram worshippers, because Ram worshippers are also not doing the right thing, coming to the devotion. We have seen them, Ram worshippers, they do this, all this Ramayana and all that. On the side, they are taking intoxications.
Not the Valmiki Ramayana.
I do not know. They do the Ramayana.
Yeah.
I do not know.
So the world is full of pseudo-religion right now. The genuine religion is practically non-existent. Everybody, the religious people are doing pseudo-religion. The genuine religion doesn't exist. The great Vaishnavacharyas have taught what is actual religion. And that's what we're trying to manifest now in ISKCON. Genuine religion.
I think we can
know. Prabhupada is teaching perfect religion in his books. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.